Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a surprise Tuesday J6 hearing bombshell edition. It's a bombshell edition, Fancy Brian. Lots of bombshells today. Here's a big breaking news story. Dom returns a little bit later in the big show. So if you missed him, good, but he's back. Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel Maggie Dawn joining us in the happy hour as well. Always happy when Maggie Dawn comes around. But Fancy Brian, this hearing has been transfixing. It's been compelling. Man, it's had me on the edge of my seat. And lots of new news. And this is, as far as congressional hearings go, best one ever. I'm serious. Best one I've ever seen. This one had drama. And it was kind of damning to the former president. First and foremost, Fancy Brian, love you, man. Thanks for working hard today. Evan here in the world headquarters as well, lightly screening the calls. We can take your reaction to the J6 hearing, the bombshells contained therein, at 844-967-2789. But my takeaway, Trump tried to choke a bitch. And in this case, it was a Secret Service agent.
He did not do a good job.
Wow. Today is a wow kind of day. Also, Trump wanted to what? Wanted more armed insurrectionists at the pre-coup speech. Apparently, you know, always quite concerned about the crowd size. Pissed off at the Secret Service for denying so many for bringing weapons.
You're not going to hurt me. You know, they're bringing those for other people, apparently.
So anyways, let's get to a couple of the takeaways from the big bombshell. First and foremost, this was completely unexpected, right? They came out of nowhere with this thing. And the lead, Cassidy Hutchinson, oh, she was compelling. I mean, finally, a woman of courage. Not many of them, but she was a Republican. She was the chief of staff to what, Mark Meadows? Let's see what the Washington Post reporting. The Congressional Committee investigating the J6 2021 insurrection held a surprise hearing Tuesday. Surprise, surprise, surprise. That featured a key witness, Cassidy Hutchinson, who was the top aide to former President Donald Trump's chief, Mark Meadows. Hope he sells a lot of books. He's going to need that money for a good effing criminal defense attorney. Hutchinson is not a household name, but she's become central to the committee's investigation, sitting for a series of taped interviews and being the only live witness at Tuesday's hearing. In the live testimony, Hutchinson provided an intimate, detailed, and shocking look inside the West Wing at the president, specifically on the day of the attack. And here are some of the most stunning, and there were some stunners, the most stunning of her revelations about Trump. Number one. There's a list. Number one, Trump knew his supporters had weapons and encouraged them to march on the Capitol, and he wanted to go too. Trump was down. Hell, Trump was livid. They weren't letting him go to the Capitol. Hutchins, and what have I said a couple of times, Fancy Brand? The only thing this coup lacked for was Trump showing up at the scene of the crime. Had Trump shown up at the Capitol, there's a much better chance the coup attempt would have been successful.
Or at least he get to claim for, or declare martial law. Not claim, but declare martial law.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me Trump could declare his mileage.
I don't even think he knows how to do that.
Hutchinson, now she was the key witness, testified that Trump was informed that his supporters were in D.C. armed to the teeth. On the morning of January 6th, she said Meadows and Trump were informed that Trump supporters came to his Stop the Steal rally at the Ellipse armed with weapons, pepper spray, knives, brass knuckles, stun guns, body armor, gas mask, batons, and blunt weapons. The committee also played police calls reporting people with AR-15s, like cops spotting people marching down with AR-15s. Hutchinson said that Tony Arredondo, the deputy chief of staff who served as liaison for the Secret Service, told Meadows on the morning of January 6th something to the effect of, "And these effing people are fastening spears on the top of flagpoles." Trump was mad that the Secret Service wasn't letting these armed supporters through security, said Hutchinson, who was in a tent with the president before his rally speech. Here's a quote, according to the reporting. "I was in the vicinity of a conversation when I overheard the president say something to the effect of, 'You know, I don't even care that they have weapons. They're not here to hurt me.'" Not there to hurt Trump. No, she didn't do the voice, but I did. You know, because I like doing it, sort of. I know how the people clamor for it. Trump then went on stage and repeatedly told his supporters, "We're going to walk down to the Capitol." Yes, Fancy.
I'm just saying, if they're there for him and he's saying that, that's true, then how can they also claim that they were Antifa? Because if there was even one Antifa person there armed, wouldn't you want them to not be armed?
Let's not give the righties or the Fox News or CJ any bright ideas, because let's not muddy the water. This is a pretty clear-cut case. We know what the president knew, and when he knew it, he knew days. Certainly he knew the morning of January 6th. The people were showing up armed, and Trump was pissed they weren't letting them through. And more than that, Trump was livid they weren't taking him down to the Capitol building. Number two, Trump wrestled. They're calling it wrestled. He wrestled with the Secret Security agent to go to the Capitol. I would have paid money to see that. You know, like the video, there's got to be a camera somewhere where that's captured. Trump, like, trying to come over. They call it the Beast, right? The presidential limousine. And he's got a driver up front, but he's in the back of a limo. And, you know, suddenly he becomes aware of the fact they're not taking him to the Capitol. You know, he can't put the cherry on the top of the coup de grace. You know what I'm saying? See what I did there? But anyways, coup de grace, coup d'etat, just for the slow ones. You, CJ, I did it for you. Let me just read here. After the speech, Trump got back in his heavily fortified limousine and literally tried to wrestle the steering wheel away from the head of his security. According to Hutchinson, who seemed quite credible to me, who said she was repeating what she heard from Arredondo. He apparently was in the room. Secret Service decided it was too dangerous to let Trump go. They were still trying to angle. They wanted him to go. Trump definitely wanted to go. Here's how Hutchinson relayed what she heard from Arredondo. And we've got a lot of the sound. We'll play it, but, you know, play with me. Work with me, folks. The president said something to the effect of,
"I'm the effing president. Take me to the Capitol now."
To which Robert Engel, the head of Secret Service detail, responded, "Sir, we have to go back to the West Wing." The president reached up towards the front of the vehicle to grab at the steering wheel. Mr. Engel grabbed his arm. I wonder if it was a frail arm, small hands. "Sir, you need to take your hand off the steering wheel. We're going back to the West Wing. We're not going to the Capitol." Mr. Trump then used his free hand to lunge towards Bobby Engel. Hutchinson testified and said Arredondo motioned to his clavicles to describe a kind of choking motion. President tried to choke out a Secret Service agent. I mean, it's one thing when they drive past the Baskin Robbins, sir. I can understand your frustration. But when you want a coup d'etat against your own vice president, they won't take you down there. oh, man, that's got to really get under a guy's skin.
Lucky for the Secret Service agent, he can barely hold a hamburger with two hands.
Well, here's the other interesting part. He likes to, you know, sort of make declaratory sentences with food, chucking food around the White House. Trump threw dishes regularly. You know, I'd like to do that. You know, my wife wouldn't permit it, but I'd like to be able to, you know, just, damn it, I hate meatloaf, chuck, you know, just chuck it. Hutchinson was also in the room on December 1st, 2020, when Trump learned that his then Attorney General, William Barr, said in an interview with the Associated Press that there was no evidence of widespread election fraud that would call into question President Biden's win. As Hutchinson is quoted, I remember hearing noise coming from down the hallway, so I poked my head out of the office. Hutchinson testified. She said she saw the White House valet entering the dining room, changing the tablecloth on the dining room table. He motioned for me to come in and then pointed towards the front of the room near the fireplace mantle, where I first noticed there was ketchup dripping down the wall and there's a shattered porcelain plate on the floor. Probably the Lincoln china. You know, they get the good stuff. It's not like he's throwing around a plate he bought at Walmart. She went on. The valet had articulated the president was extremely angry at the Attorney General's AP interview and had thrown his lunch against the wall. Hardly seems the type to waste a good burger. Under questioning from Cheney, Hutchinson said this was not the first time the president had thrown dishes when he was mad. I bet he's been doing it his whole life. Right, petulant little punk? I mean, it's good for show. You know, just smash, break that dish. Choke a Secret Service agent. You know, coup or bust, baby. You know, he wanted to. He wanted to be there. And we now know the President of the United States was well informed about the danger of the crowd. But his perception, well, they're not dangerous to me. They're dangerous to, you know, other people. Like, let's say, Mike Pence. That was a point of note again today. Hutchinson was the one that said Trump was all down for hanging Mike Pence. In fact, if I understood the testimony today, she said that Trump thought Pence deserved to be hanged. Friends like these, who needs enemies? Come back, Devil's Advocates, a stunning, a bombshell Tuesday J6 hearing. Surprise!
And there are chokers. They choke.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Don't drive angry. Don't drive angry.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
But you can do something in between. Maybe you can drive my car.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates. You know, it's going to be a better show than I would have wished for in my greatest dreams. A bad day for Donald Trump. You know, that's not how he's playing it, but it's got to be excruciating. You know, my understanding is Trump's already claiming, who's this woman? Never even met her. The chief of staff's chief of staff. So she was often in the room, sir, apparently when you were throwing dishes and, you know, coup plotting, things of that nature. Maybe you should have paid attention to who was around you. The little people that are going to throw your ass in prison. Now, my understanding is Hutchinson, because of the threats against her life, they want to get her on the record. They want to get this live testimony. That's why the accelerated, the surprise January 6th hearing today. I hope they got more surprises like this up their sleeve. Here are a couple of the takeaways, according to the Washington Post. Vance Brand, we're up to 4 in the days leading up to the attack. Oh, yeah, by the way. The headline at number 4, Trump didn't want to call off the rioters. No, he was down for the riot. He was down for the armed riot. Let me read. In the days leading up to the attack, Hutchinson testified White House counsel Pat Cipollone was frantically warning that if anyone from the White House, let alone the president, went to the Capitol on January 6th, they'd be charged with federal crimes. Think obstruction of justice. A little bit more. She said he told her, Cipollone told Hutchinson, in language that sounded almost like begging, please make sure we don't go up to the Capitol, Cass. We are going to get charged with every crime imaginable. Fast forward to January 6th, and the rioters had broken into the Capitol. Back at the White House, Hutchinson said she saw Cipollone barreling down the hallway looking for her boss, Meadows. She overheard the conversation. I remember Pat saying to him something to the effect of, the rioters have gotten into the Capitol, Mark. We need to go down and see the president now. And Mark looked up from his phone and said, he doesn't want to do anything, Pat. Sort of a nonchalant response. She said Cipollone continued to pressure Meadows to convince Trump to call off the rioters. Something needs to be done or people are going to die. The blood is going to be on your effing hands. This is getting out of control. They both marched out of the office down to the dining room where Trump was. She testified. Let's hear a little of this testimony. We've got some of the sound, and, you know, I had to set it a little bit. The context, the bombshells. There are some takeaways from today's big, big testimony. Also, Cassidy Hutchinson described the first time she kind of got nervous. Well, it was in the presence of Rudy Giuliani. And Rudy kind of foreshadowed what was coming. It's going to be wild, right? Cut number 10, Cassidy Hutchinson, the star witness, played for the people, fancy.
As Mr. Giuliani and I were walking to his vehicles that evening, he looked at me and said something to the effect of, Cass, are you excited for the 6th? It's going to be a great day.
Oh, great day. More from Hutchinson on Giuliani. Giuliani explains the wild day coming. Cut 11.
I remember looking at him saying, Rudy, could you explain what's happening on the 6th? He had responded something to the effect of, we're going to the Capitol. It's going to be great. The president's going to be there. He's going to look powerful. He's going to be with the members. He's going to be with the senators.
So the plan was, according to Hutchinson's testimony, Trump wanted to go down there. And that would have been the cherry on the top of the coup, if you know what I'm saying. Benny Thompson, talking after this testimony, Benny Thompson, the co-chair, cut 12, please.
It's important that the American people hear that information immediately. That's why, in consultation with the vice chair, I've recalled the committee for today's hearing.
And so it went on. More from Liz Cheney, the other co-chair, you know her, Dick's daughter, cut number 13, played for the people.
We will begin to examine evidence bearing on what President Trump and members of the White House staff knew about the prospect for violence on January 6th, even before that violence began.
Because Hutchinson is an insider, and despite the denials of Donald Trump, she saw it all, or damn near everything. One more from Liz Cheney, that is, cut 14.
Ms. Hutchinson was in a position to know a great deal about the happenings in the Trump White House.
So how does she describe what she thought might happen? This Cassidy Hutchinson, the star witness. Fancy Brian, play cut 15, please.
I remember leaning against the doorway and saying, I had an interesting conversation with Rudy, Mark. It sounds like we're going to go to the Capitol. He didn't look up from his phone and said something to the effect of, there's a lot going on, Cass, but I don't know. Things might get real, real bad on January 6th.
So that's Cassidy describing her conversation with the boss, Mark Meadows, who barely even looked up from his phone, right? As she testified. And she just walked Rudy Giuliani out. Rudy's like, oh, the president's going to the Capitol. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be there with the senators. Well, that's when they're supposed to be counting and peacefully transitioning, right? The electoral count. That was supposed to be happening on January 6th. And I would just remind all our friends out there in the great state of Wisconsin, there's also that Ron Johnson element. Now, he was not brought up, not during the course of today's testimony. But what if he thought the president was actually going to be at the Capitol? Do you think Ron was in on the plan? Do you think Ron knew? And do you think when he offered, what, to personally hand to the vice president the fraudulent Trump electors. You think he thought that the old man, the Cheeto Messiah, was going to be right there with him in the chamber? I'm just wondering, because after I see this new testimony, this bombshell from Cassidy Hutchinson, you realize the president knew everything. He was part of the plot. He knew the violence was coming, and so did Mark Meadows. And oh yeah, Rudy, Meadows, they all asked for a pardon. That's what guilty people do. Come back, more Devil's Advocates. The Tuesday, the Bombshell J6 postgame show.
Let's have trial by combat.
I'm proud to tell you that was actually my sick idea.
I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for those meddling Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition. It's been a bombshell of a Tuesday. There has been some big breaking news. A surprise January 6th hearing. And I wouldn't be surprised if Trump somewhere in Mar-a-Lago or perhaps Bedminster. I understand he's somewhere at the golf course. I bet he's breaking some of the china. You know, not the good White House stuff. Whatever he serves the people at Bedminster with. You know, it's gold in some way. It's got some gold leaf on there.
Whatever the summer rules are or the winter rules are, I bet you he's not following them.
Improve your lie, Mr. President. Let me play some more of the testimony of Cassidy Hutchinson. She was the star witness, the unexpected star witness. Now, we had seen some of her prior testimony via videotape, but somehow, you know, the live testimony, just, it was riveting. It was compelling. It was the greatest freaking congressional hearing ever. And of course, there weren't the Jim Jordans of the world, the Scott Perrys of the world. There weren't inside insurrectionists trying to blow it up in real time. So, I mean, you couldn't pull a surprise witness, not in this fashion, not in a criminal proceeding, but as a made-for-TV event, made-for-radio event, I loved it. More of the testimony of Cassidy Hutchinson. We're going to go to 17. She addressed the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers. They had sort of red flagged in her brain when she started hearing them talking about these guys that were just going to show up at the big wild January 6th event. Play cut 17, please.
I recall hearing the word Oath Keeper and hearing the word Proud Boys closer to the planning of the January 6th rally when Mr. Giuliani would be around.
More from Hutchinson, cut 18, please.
So at the time, in the days leading up to the 6th, there were lots of public reports about how things might go bad on the 6th, and even the potential for violence. If I'm hearing you correctly, what stands out to you is that Mr. Meadows did not share those concerns, or at least did not act on those concerns?
Did not act on those concerns would be accurate.
Did not act on those concerns. Did seek a pardon later. She did testify to that. More from Cassidy Hutchinson. Weapons. They were aware of the weapons. What was Meadows' reaction then? Cut 19.
What was Mark's reaction, Mr. Meadows' reaction, to this list of weapons that people had in the crowd?
Armed crowd
when
at the ellipse.
When I went in to talk to Mark that morning, Mark was sitting on his couch and on his phone, which was something typical. And I remember Tony just got right into it. I was like, sorry, I just want to let you know, and informed him, like, this is how many people we have outside the mags right now. These are the weapons that we're known to have. It's possible he listed more weapons off that I just don't recall. And gave him a brief but and concise explanation, but also fairly thorough. And I remember distinctly Mark not looking up from his phone. And I remember Tony finishing his explanation and it taking a few seconds for Mark to say something to the point where I almost said, Mark, did you hear him? And then Mark chimed in and was like, all right, anything else? Still looking down at his phone.
So they went through a litany of weapons that were apparently kosher, or at least the Trump supportive thought, were they were going to walk through the Secret Service checkpoints with things like brass knuckles and, you know, flags with spears on the end. They went through a whole litany, body armor, all kinds of stuff. And it never, what struck me is the number of weapons that were found through the magnetic searches, the magnometers or whatever they continuously called them. But effectively, you walk through an airport, they figure out if you got metal on your body, right? Well, these jacknuts were showing up, going through Secret Service checkpoints with weapons. And according to the testimony of Hutchinson, Trump was pissed that they weren't letting more people in. People didn't, you know, apparently others wanted to wait outside, didn't want to have their weapons confiscated. Well, Trump's like, let them in, let them in. They're not here to hurt me. More from Liz Cheney. Cut 20, please.
Ms. Hutchinson, is it your understanding that Mr. Ornato told the president about weapons at the rally on the morning of January 6th?
That's what Mr. Ornato relayed to me.
Now, Tony Ornato, again, is the liaison with the Secret Service. So the president was briefed. More from Cassidy Hutchinson, please. Play cut 21.
He'd be a white male, about 6 feet tall, thin build, brown cowboy boots. He's got blue jeans and a blue jean jacket, and underneath the blue jean jacket, the complainants both saw a stock of an AR-15.
So people were literally armed with military assault weapons, you know, marching up, the peaceful, patriotic, touristy sorts, as Ron Johnson would later describe them. More from Hutchinson. Obviously, you're hearing video in real time from the January 6th, the actual events that occurred. That's what you heard. More from Hutchinson. Cut 22, please.
Something to the effect of, take the effing mags away. They're not here to hurt me. Let them in. Let my people in. They can march to the Capitol after the rally's over. They can march from the Ellipse. Take the effing mags away. Then they can march to the Capitol.
Take the magnometers away. Stop taking the weapons away from my people. That's what Donald Trump said about the protesters. More from Hutchinson. Talked about Trump. Apparently he found his lunch unagreeable the day that William Barr said there was no evidence of widespread fraud. That incident recounted here. Cut 23, please.
The valet had articulated that the president was extremely angry at the Attorney General's AP interview and had thrown his lunch against the wall.
Ketchup dripping down the White House wall. Hutchinson, a nice lady, she just leapt in and started cleaning the ketchup off the wall by her own testimony. More about don't go to the Capitol. It would be a crime for the president to go to the Capitol, and nobody wanted him there. Cut 24.
That it would look like we were obstructing what was happening on Capitol Hill, and he was also worried that it would look like we were inciting a riot or encouraging a riot to erupt on the Capitol, at the Capitol.
I believe the he/she references there is Pat Cipollone, White House counsel. Now, Liz Cheney keeps making public, imploring Cipollone publicly to testify, do the right thing. Tell us what you know, Pat. More about rage incidents. According to Cassidy Hutchinson, I think she's talking about Trump rage. Cut 25.
There were several times throughout my tenure with the chief of staff that I was aware of him either throwing dishes or flipping the tablecloth to let all the contents of the table go onto the floor and likely break.
Do you think he was just trying to pull the tablecloth? He's just really bad at it. You know, just pull that cloth and all the dishes are supposed to stay put, but instead the Big Mac holders all fall on the floor.
In either case, he's bad at whatever he's trying to do.
Well, not if he's trying to display his petulant, childlike rage. He's good at that.
Oh, there's better ways to do that, too.
Hutchinson reports on a conversation she had with Kevin McCarthy. Now, I had to step away a few times during the course of the testimony. This will be new to me as well, folks. So let's hear what she said. Cut 26, please.
He then explained, the president just said he's marching to the Capitol. You told me this whole week, you aren't coming up here. Why would you lie to me? I said, I'm not lying. I wasn't lying to you, sir. We're not going to the Capitol. And he said, well, he just said it on stage, Cassidy. Figure it out. Don't come up here.
So apparently Cassidy Hutchinson reported from her vantage point, she couldn't clearly hear what was being said on the Ellipse stage by the president. But Kevin McCarthy heard it and called her and said, what are you doing? Because Trump promised, we're all going to march up Pennsylvania Avenue. We're all going to march to the Capitol. And when the Secret Service detail didn't want to take Trump, here's how he reacted according to the testimony of Hutchinson. Cut 27, please.
The president reached up towards the front of the vehicle to grab at the steering wheel. Mr. Engel grabbed his arm, said, sir, you need to take your hand off the steering wheel. We're going back to the West Wing. We're not going to the Capitol.
And then she testified that Trump tried to choke out his Secret Service agent. A little bit more from Cassidy Hutchinson. Cut 28, please. Trump, again, he wanted to go to the freaking Capitol. He's the president. I'm going to go break stuff. Cut 28.
There were discussions about him having another speech outside of the Capitol before going in. I know that there was a conversation about him going into the House chamber at one point.
Yeah, he wanted to go in there and see what he could break. More from Cassidy Hutchinson talking about her old boss, Mark Meadows. Cut 29.
Something to the effect of, Mark, something needs to be done or people are going to die and the blood's going to be on your effing hands. This is getting out of control. I'm going down there.
I forget if that was the White House counsel saying that to the chief of staff, but someone thought there was, you know, a little blood on Mark's hands. More from Cassidy Hutchinson. The need to talk to Trump. They wanted to stop things. What was Trump's reaction? Cut 30.
I remember Pat saying to him something to the effect of, the rioters have gotten to the Capitol, Mark. We need to go down and see the president now. And Mark looked up at him and said, he doesn't want to do anything, Pat.
He doesn't want to do anything, Pat. The fact that the, you know, the insurrectionists are in the house and Trump's chief of staff barely looks up from the phone and says, sorry, White House counsel Pat Cipollone. Trump has decided he doesn't want to do anything. He wants this to happen. This was wowing testimony. It was riveting, at least to my thought process. Are we on 31 or 32? Let's try 31, unless I'm being redundant.
He almost had a lack of reaction.
Meadows.
I remember him saying, all right, something to the effect of, how much longer does the president have left in his speech?
Cassidy Hutchinson also, she talks about the hang Mike Pence chants, cut 32.
I remember Pat saying something to the effect of, Mark, we need to do something more. They're literally calling for the vice president to be effing hung. And Mark had responded something to the effect of, you heard him, Pat. He thinks Mike deserves it. He doesn't think they're doing anything wrong.
Hang Mike Pence, indeed. The president's attitude was, Pence deserved it. You think Pence would be a more willing witness? You know, you think Pence would want to testify. If a guy wanted me dead, I'd at least go give some public testimony. Cut 33, Cassidy Hutchinson.
It was unpatriotic. It was un-American. We were watching the Capitol building get defaced over a lie.
Oh, no. Rigged election. All that kind of stuff. While there's time, Fancy, let's keep going down. Cassidy Hutchinson's testimony. Cut 35, please.
It's my understanding that Mr. Meadows was in the deflect and blame category, but he did end up taking a more neutral route, knowing that there were several advisors in the president's circle urging him to take more action.
Understand, we've already seen, what, hundreds, more than thousands of Mark Meadows emails and text messages. They've already come to the public. We've already seen the reporting, and we already know who all was encouraging Mark Meadows that day. People like Jenny Thomas, right? And hell, there were some pushing back as well. People like Fox News host Sean Hannity. Make it stop, Mark. Laura Ingraham, quite concerned. Not so much on their programs, but in their private communications, in their private texts with the Chiefs chief, Mark Meadows. Mark Meadows. I hope he's got a good effing criminal defense attorney. Should have gotten himself that pardon. Him and Rudy and the bunch of them. Because they're all going to prison. This is bad.
I think the White House could have handled this better.
When Trump gets the guillotine, you're going to be the first one to go.
Get a great effing criminal defense lawyer. You're going to need it.
Save the $2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a Tuesday J6 hearing bombshell edition. The bombshells, they keep dropping. Cassidy Hutchinson, a very courageous witness. Her life has been threatened, as you would expect. I mean, she knows what Trump did and what Trump knew. She knows what the president knows and when he knew it. And it's all pretty damning because he's freaking guilty. So is Mark Meadows. So is Rudy Giuliani. And what she is describing is criminality, state of mind. Anyways, let's clean up the Cassidy sound, if we could. Cassidy Hutchinson. I believe we're up to cut number 36. She references Ivanka Trump and Ivanka's urging of the old man. Cut 36.
I remember her saying at various points, you know, she wants him, she wanted her dad to send them home. She wanted her dad to tell them to go home peacefully, and she wanted to include language that he necessarily wasn't on board with at the time.
Yeah, because he wanted Mike Pence hung. One more from Cassidy Hutchinson, then we'll hear from the vice chair, Liz Cheney. Cut number 37, please. The next
I learned from a conversation with Mark and overhearing between him and White House counsel and Eric Hirschman as well, that Trump didn't necessarily think he needed to do anything more on the 7th than what he had already done on the 6th.
Well, he had done so much sort of after the fact to, you know, say, go home. We love you. Be peaceful. More from the vice chair, Liz Cheney. Let's listen to her. Cut 38, please.
I just want to confirm that that is when you heard the president say the people with weapons weren't there to hurt him and that he wanted the Secret Service to remove the magnetometers.
That's correct. In the photos that you displayed, we were standing towards the front of the tent with the TVs, really close to where he would walk out to go onto the stage. These conversations happened 2 to 3 minutes before he took the stage that morning.
Let more people in with weapons. They're my people. They're not going to hurt me, according to Trump and the testimony of Cassidy Hutchinson. More from Liz Cheney. What about the 25th Amendment? Cut 39.
25th Amendment has never been used to remove a president. But the committee has learned that after the attack on the U.S. Capitol, this was being discussed by members of President Trump's cabinet as a way of stripping the full power of the presidency from Donald Trump.
More from Hutchinson responding to Liz Cheney's statement. Cut 40, please.
The primary reason that I had heard, other than, you know, we did not do enough on the 6th, we need to get a stronger message out there and condemn this. Otherwise, this will be your legacy. The secondary reason to that was, you know, think about what might happen in the final 15 days of your presidency if we don't do this. There's already talks about invoking the 25th Amendment. You need this as cover.
More from Hutchinson. Cut 41, please.
I had original drafts of the speech where, you know, there were several lines that didn't make it in there about prosecuting the rioters or calling them violent. He didn't want that in there. He wanted to put in there that he wanted to potentially pardon them. And this is just with the increased emphasis of his mindset at the time, which was he didn't think that they did anything wrong. The people who did something wrong that day, or the person who did something wrong that day, was Mike Pence by not standing with him.
The day after, no regrets. Hang Mike Pence. He still held that sentiment. More from Liz Cheney on the pardon language, cut 42.
Did you hear that Mr. Trump at one point wanted to add language about pardoning those who took part in the January 6th riot?
I did hear that, and I understand that Mr. Meadows was encouraging that language as well.
Yeah, Meadows also wanted a pardon. She'll clarify that point. Cut 43, more Cassidy Hutchinson. Ketchup down the wall.
I first noticed there was ketchup dripping down the wall, and there's a shattered porcelain plate on the floor. The valet had articulated that the president was extremely angry at the attorney general's AP interview and had thrown his lunch against the wall.
Seems a little non sequitur at that point. I know we talked about that. Let's get back to Cheney and the pardons. Cut 44, please.
Did White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows ever indicate that he was interested in receiving a presidential pardon related to January 6th?
Mr. Meadows did seek that pardon. Yes, ma'am.
He did. As did Rudy Giuliani, according to Cassidy Hutchinson. One more from Liz Cheney, sort of a wrap-up. It wasn't easy to give this testimony. Quite courageous. Cut 45.
I want all Americans to know that what Ms. Hutchinson has done today is not easy. The easy course is to hide from the spotlight, to refuse to come forward, to attempt to downplay or deny what happened.
Looking at you, Pat Cipollone, 844-967-2789. Jake from Milwaukee. Welcome, Jake. You get the last word this hour.
Okay, well, this is totally refuting. I mean, Trump is totally innocent. I mean, it's obvious that George Soros, liberals, Nancy Pelosi, BLM, with Antifa, and then Hillary's emails, Hunter Biden's laptop, gas, high, Afghanistan, cut and run. I rest my case, Crute.
What about Benghazi, Jake? You forgot Benghazi.
Oh, I forgot Benghazi. I'm sorry. And Benghazi, I rest my case.
Yeah, there's not much relevant to defend oneself from these stunning accusations from this Cassidy Hutchinson against the former president. What did he know? He knew everything. When did he know it? Days, weeks, at least hours or minutes before it happened. And what do we now know the former president knew? He knew the crowd was armed. He was just fine with letting them in. He planned on marching to the Capitol or, you know, getting a ride to the Capitol. He wanted to give a speech at the Capitol. He intended to be in the House chambers or perhaps the Senate chambers. And he planned to basically block or obstruct the peaceful transition of power. And, you know, it seemed like it was just this, you know, protest gone bad, Jake. But we now know, no, the president knew everything. Hell, he wanted so desperately to be there to deliver on the coup. He tried to choke out a Secret Service agent. First, he grabbed the steering wheel. And then he choked the man. Yeah, those guys probably trained in hand-to-hand combat. I don't know if Trump is. They have the right to defend themselves, do they not? The guy grabbed me one time with a frail hand.
Yeah, but I don't think they'd have a hard time proving that they were, you know, in fear of their life with him coming at them.
I think they should have pulled the trigger and asked questions later. Come back, hour two of the Devil's Advocates. We welcome back my little buddy. And also, later in the big show, Maggie Dawn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel. A new lawsuit in the state of Wisconsin. Tony Evers and Josh Call suing to overturn the 1849 abortion law.
All I want to do is be able to watch